two hacks to getting rich the easy way are, one, figure out what you can sell middle-aged woman. Ladies just love balling out on $1,000 orders. My other way to like test a product is,
what is the most profitable product that you've seen sell through your Facebook ads?
It's the current supplement company that I'm working with, and it's because she sources all the ingredients from America. Supplements, a lot of these things can be custom manufactured in the US. It saves you so much headache. It's also super profitable because it's consumable and people need to keep taking it. A lot of the results that I get for clients, it really is more of a reflection of how good their product is. I can set it up. We're gonna get in front of your target client at the perfect time. And that's really what you can do with Facebook ads. All you gotta do is just clearly explain your offer. And if it doesn't work, it's the product.
Do you think AI is gonna take over Facebook ads or your role? Do you see that happening?
I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way.
On today's episode, we have a Facebook ads expert with almost a decade's worth of experience in creating successful campaigns for e-commerce brands. Derek Vidal is the owner of Social Bamboo, where he helps other business owners run profitable meta ads and has achieved incredible results for his clients, like increasing their ROAS to over a 9x. He has significant experience on the Amazon platform. And in this episode, we cover some of the most crucial aspects to keep in mind when considering Facebook advertising on your e-commerce brand. Derek also drops some gold information about how to validate your product before you even manufacture, which could possibly save you thousands. So let's jump in. Derek, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I want to jump straight into it. You've been a veteran of doing e-commerce and Facebook ads for 6 years. And basically, you're like a money machine for people. Would that be right?
That would be accurate.
Excellent. And would you say now, the first thing that comes to mind is, can people still make money using Facebook ads?
Yes, it really comes down to how good your product is. Like, it's actually a lot more simple to run ads nowadays than it used to be. In the past, if you were selling a digital offer, you had to do a free webinar with a free guide. If you stay to the end of the webinar, you get this free guide, and then you do a long email series with the countdown timer. And if you were doing e-commerce, you needed fancier video editing, and then that would lead them to like an upsell funnel and all these bells and whistles. And basically all of that enabled people with not that good of products, okay products, maybe they were like the fidget spinners, like the trendy products, but they were able to make it seem cool. And now everyone has bought something online that they wish they didn't buy. And they have, everyone's BS detector works really well nowadays. So my ad strategy is so much more just based around full clarity, saying the main points about the product, and really just saying that, just focusing on the main points that are going to sell it, and not being confusing at all, not even being fancy with copywriting, not being fancy with graphic design. So yeah, a lot of the results that I get for clients, it really is more of a reflection of how good their product is. I can set it up where we're going to get in front of your target client at the perfect time. And that's really what you can do with Facebook ads. So if you can't do that, then yeah, there's some things that we'll go over on today's episode on how to get in front of the right people at the right time. And then after that, all you got to do is just clearly explain your offer. And if it doesn't work, it's the product. So there is a lot of money to make in Facebook ads when you just have a great offer and then you let the product do the work. Otherwise, if it's not working there, it's probably not going to work on a lot of other areas. I know on Amazon, I sell a lot of products on Amazon too. I've done that since 6 years ago as well. That was the first thing that I did, actually, was Amazon PPC before I got into Facebook ads. And there are products that can sell on Amazon that don't sell on Facebook and vice versa. But for the most part, if you've got an offer that works, Facebook's algorithm is so good at getting in front of people like in front of your ideal audience, even if you have the most niche product. So if you can, if your product is good enough to, you know, get sales appearing in front of the right audience at the right time, then it's going to work great for you.
Would you say then, Derek, that the trick might be, a lot of people say, for example, they launch on Amazon first because there's probably, you know, low barriers to entry. They can probably, they can send in low MOQs. If it's a great product to sell on Amazon, would you say therefore it's going to be also a great product to sell through like a Shopify store using Facebook ads?
Not necessarily. Like commodities do better on Amazon than they do on Facebook ads. I have a soap company and they do really well on Amazon. And on Facebook, I can get sales, but because it's soap, it also has such a low margin in general that it can be difficult to do. It's usually going to cost, lowest I ever see is like $5 to $10 to get a sale on something. And for a lot of e-com products, that might already be all of your profit. So you want to have at least $30 to $40 profit and also the ability to upsell.
Right. Right. So what in your experience then, what has been a sort of a great example of something that has a product that you can sell with a good margin, but then also on an upsell?
Anything that improves people's appearance sells great. So any kind of skincare, hair growth stuff, acne reducing, anti-aging, really anything that is around people looking better or energy feeling better.
Something that solves a problem, for example, Derek, would you say?
It solves a problem, and it solves a universal problem that people are well aware they have.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's amazing. So one of the questions that comes up all the time with to me is, if I have an Amazon listing, should I run Facebook ads or Google ads or anything directly to an Amazon listing?
Probably not. It's not the worst idea if you just want to test to see how it would work, but you never know if the sale came from Facebook ads because you can't put a pixel on your Amazon website. So something that people do is they put a landing page in between that they'll grab the email and then they'll send them a coupon code and then they have to use that coupon code on Amazon. And then you can see, all right, they use the code that would have came from the Facebook ad. So that's great. You are already losing 15% to Amazon by sending them there. So you usually want to do this on your own website because your margins are thin enough that you usually don't want to forfeit that. I've also done, for a long time, my original claim to fame with Facebook ads was running large-scale social media giveaways where you'd run Facebook ads to a giveaway for the exact product you're looking to sell so that the only people who enter it are interested in that specific product. And then after it would say, you've got one entry, thanks for your email. If you want more entries, you can follow us on Instagram. You can like our Facebook page. You can subscribe to our YouTube. You can share it with a friend for extra entries. And then at the very end, we'd say, here's the one winner for the 5,000 of you who lost. You get a consolation prize of 20% off that ends this week. And you could send that to Amazon instead. And that worked a little bit better. So you could get a really quality audience from Facebook and then you could sell to them and send them to Amazon. For the reason why you'd want to is because you're trying to boost your Amazon ranking, right? So I don't know if this trick still works or if you've heard about it. I heard about it in the early days of me doing Amazon and I've used it a lot. But what you do is you go on Amazon, you type in the key phrase that you want people or that you want to rank on. So you type that in and then you click on your listing. And then if you grab the URL, it will be a very long URL that says search equals and then whatever they typed in. And if you use that link, if you send them there, the idea is that Amazon registers it as they searched whatever you typed in and then they got to that product and then they bought it so that you can actually gain ranking. Because if you just send them to the listing without that, then it doesn't really help you rank because it's all about certain keywords and key phrases that you're ranking on. It's not just like, is your product ranking or not ranking, right? It's, is it ranking on certain key phrases? So if you did it that way, where you'd send them to the URL that was linked to the search to the key phrase you're trying to rank on, then that would be a good way to do it. Have you heard of that before?
I've never heard of that, Derek. That's like a little secret bit of gold nugget there. I wonder if it still works. Yeah, amazing.
I know, right? I don't see how it couldn't in a way. I like Amazon would really be trying to patch that up. But yeah, it's really cool. You'll see if like, you'll go to the URL and it will have, you know, what the keyword search was that brought them there. So it's just a way that if you could send an email to 5,000 people to go buy from this Amazon listing and 100 buy, it looks like they just typed in that exact same phrase and then bought it. So then you can actually gain the ranking.
Yeah.
So usually you want to do it on your own website though. For a number of reasons.
Yeah. So just going back into your history, you mentioned there, but you were selling on Amazon. And so are you still selling on Amazon?
Yeah. Different products though. So my original invention that started my whole online entrepreneurship endeavor was the aquarium smart feeder, a way to feed your fish tank with an app or with the Amazon Alexa. You could just say feed the fish basically, and it would do it. And we built it, and it took 2.5 years, and we never sold a single one because it turns out you can buy a little $4 feeder block that I knew about. I just didn't understand that if it doesn't solve a problem, you can't sell it.
And but it sounded cool.
It was a cool thing, and everyone I tell it to is like, that's so cool. And it's so funny because usually the story's the opposite. Everyone told me it wouldn't work, and then I made it, and it was the opposite. Everyone told me it would work, and I couldn't sell a single one. So it was kind of a funny business because it just seems like one of those things, like, that doesn't exist? That should totally exist. But if you don't feed your fish for 3 days, they're probably fine. So it doesn't even solve a problem. Like, they don't need to spend $100 on this thing that they have to attach onto their aquarium and then download an app and then sync it. And then there's bugs that it could run into. So
Derek,
it just ultimately
didn't
solve a problem.
It didn't solve a problem, but... Yeah. I meet a lot of people who are inventors, right? They created this product. So you've spent like years sort of developing this product. How much money did you even sink into this?
You know, I wish I put more money and less time into it. It was more of a time cost in the end, but I grew that Instagram to 50,000 followers because this was in 2018 where you could just hashtag correctly and go viral. So I would repost other people's viral aquarium content and hashtag it really well. And I built a good community. So we came out with all of these other products. So I never sold that on Amazon, but we bought a bunch of fish nets and TDS meters and all these other random little things in the aquarium market. And I got really good at selling those on Amazon. And I got good at building an Instagram following. And then I started a podcast on growing on Instagram. And then, yeah, it's all evolved from there. So it was a really necessary part of my journey. But yeah, it was 2.5 years. And really, it was probably under $10,000 that we put into it. But I wish I put a lot of money into ads to tell me that it wasn't going to work in 2 weeks rather than post every day for 2.5 years before.
Okay, so that's interesting. So what you're suggesting then is someone could actually come up with an idea, and before they spend years of their life developing it, thinking it's going to be completely amazing, can you explain that? How would they then sort of, I guess, validate that idea?
Yeah, I'm one who vouches for get a sale before you even buy the LLC. you know, it's like that's a step that comes before it. So in this case, I could have set up just the basic Instagram, make it look like we're an actual company, and then run an ad that would be, some people do like name and email to get on the wish list for this product. That is actually not product proof though, because I ran surveys to about 150 people from my Instagram following, filled it out on if they would buy the aquarium smart feeder. And I think every single person said they would, like maybe 3 or 4 didn't. And they said, that's gotta be worth like $100. And survey data lies because these people think they would buy it. But then if you say, okay, cool, debit or credit, they're like, well, I don't need it right now. So you only want to run a test that is taking payment info. So you could run a pre-order that says this product is going to come out at this time, and you just try to wait for like 1 or 2 sales. You actually don't need a lot. If someone outside of your friends and family bought it at all, they're not the only person on the planet who would.
So to you, that's validation enough there, just one or two sales. That's incredible. I've got a client right now who's got this amazing product. And of course, he did the same thing that you did. And this product helps in sort of the waste management sort of area. And he came to me and said, Matthew, everybody loves this product. I've spoken to all my friends and family. And he's invested, you know, a couple hundred grand into this product. And I said, right, well, and he came to me much later down the track. He's now taken this to market. And I said, now go back to all your friends and family and make sure that they buy this product from you, because they all said they would. And I only spoke to him literally yesterday, and one person from his family so far has purchased his product. So I think your trick of validating a product like that by trying to get a sale outside of your friends and family is so, so powerful, because it could save you basically bankruptcy in some cases, because some people are all in on their invention, aren't they?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and that sale to a friend or family member doesn't even count.
Yeah, yeah, because they're going to do it through love, yeah, aren't they? In this day and age, Derek, we've got Instagram, we've got Facebook, we've got TikTok, we've got Google. From your experience, well, first of all, do you even cover all of those bases, or do you specialize specifically in, you know, Facebook and Instagram, for example? And if so, have you used the other ones, or do you recommend them?
Yes, I have done quite a bit with Google Ads. I haven't done TikTok ads, but I've been into the platform and messed around, and I am a user on there looking at it as an advertiser. I understand that pretty much anyone could do well on TikTok ads in the product world. There just has to be something cool about it to create cool content. Or even if it is like a skincare product and you're just showing results or talking about how clear your skin is, then that should be fine. If you're selling a basic commodity product, like paper towels probably won't work well on there, but they work great on Amazon. So there's not much opportunity for paper towels on Amazon anymore, though, where all those commodities are pretty much
Being sold by Amazon now.
But yes, so I understand them pretty well. But yeah, Facebook ads is the only one I'm a real expert on. Google ads, I don't know how a lot of businesses make it work unless you are a local high ticket service. Because for products, I mean, it's pretty rare to get a click that costs you less than $2 if you're lucky, but a lot of them are $3, $4, $5, $6, and it might take 5 to 10 clicks minimum before you get a sale, and that's like $50. So it's pretty difficult to make it work with e-commerce, I've found.
Derek, your agency is called Social Bamboo, right? If someone comes to you and they're thinking, hey, I need someone to do Facebook ads for me, is it yourself that's running the show personally, or do you outsource it to a team? And who would be, I guess, your ideal client as well?
Yeah, so I'm more of a consulting firm than an agency, actually. Right now, I have 4 clients that I'm doing their ads for them. And then I have like 10 that I'm teaching them how to run their own ads. So I found that in order for me to charge what I'm worth per hour or whatever when I'm running ads for someone, it's got to be a good amount. And for a lot of companies, especially if you're just getting started and you don't know how well your product's going to work and your pricing's all over the place, you don't know what your offer is, you shouldn't be spending $1,500 a month on an agency where you have the time. Like, pretty much anyone who has the time and also the bandwidth to learn it, like they want to learn it. If you get into Facebook Ads Manager and you hate it, then you probably shouldn't even be an online entrepreneur if you just hate things like that, because that's going to be pretty much everything you do marketing wise. But apart from the businesses that have absolutely no time and their product already sells, like I recently took on a company that did like $1 million last year, and then they were just like switching agencies. Like that's more where I like to take over. And then what I do is a performance-based deal. I just charge a percentage of the sales that I bring you. So in order for me to do that, I need to make sure the company has enough proof that I know they're going to get sales. I don't do this for people that are testing an offer because, like I said before, I can only run the ads as good as the product is. If people don't want to buy your product, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. You can't get into people's brains and change their desires. Mm-hmm. It is what a common misconception is in advertising. So I'm very clear about this with people. So they know if their product doesn't sell, it's not like you're not good at ads. Like that's never going to be the case.
Is that the default setting for people, Derek? We got in front of your target customer
on the right day. If a sale didn't happen, there's nothing that we can do.
Right.
So,
do you get that a lot though, Derek? Do people come back to you and say, hey, my product's not selling, it's your fault?
I haven't like really. I'm pretty, if that would happen, that would be an issue of me pre-framing it wrong to begin with and saying, oh yeah, we're going to crush it. Like I can tell you if a product's going to work pretty quickly now, but for a long time, I didn't know actually. So, I've got a better idea of if it's going to work or not now, just because I've worked with like probably like 300 to 400 different companies I've done ads for or with. But I would rather teach people to do it so that they don't need to pay $1,500 a month. So I can charge half that in order to teach it to someone. I can complete an ad campaign with someone in 4 calls. And then if they want to continue working with me on other campaigns, they can. Otherwise, the goal is so that they graduate and they don't need me as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, that's amazing because a lot of courses out there would be an automated course that people have to go into, but they can actually come to you, get your 6 years of plus of e-com Facebook experience and get personal training.
It really is the only way I'd recommend it. I'm really big on don't buy a Facebook ads course because right now the buttons are changing on a weekly basis. They are adding a lot of new features. It looks different in every person's ad account as well. So when I log into someone in Australia's ad account, it looks different than the US, the UK versus an ad account that's been around for 5 years versus a brand new one. Everyone has different buttons and sometimes they're buggy and sometimes they're not. So sometimes, like every call I do with someone is different because I've got someone who's doing like dental conferences right now. I have a medium selling medium sessions to people to connect with lost loved ones. And then I've got your more standard supplement companies and such like that. But I get I have an immigration lawyer right now. Like I get very like crazy niche businesses. And a lot of agencies, like the common tip is niche down. But the thing is there's a lot of random businesses out there. I'm the marketing agency for mediums. Like it's really rare, right? So because my method of client acquisition is I just post on YouTube and then I take free calls from whoever calls me, I can't be niched down. But it's made me have to get really good at understanding concepts of marketing and advertising in order to say, no matter what company you are, even if I've never heard of it, I can dissect your brand and get into the mind of your customer and then figure out how to run ads for you specifically. And then we're going to set that up. But if you take a general Facebook ads course, you're going to learn some good stuff on like what buttons to press. But instead of having a course and then my YouTube and then I do the offer, I just have the YouTube and I give away pretty much everything on my YouTube. And then all you're buying from me is just more access because a lot of times people still need it. I try to give examples for all these random companies, but you're never going to get the examples for you that is also based around, are you working another job right now? Because if you're working a 9-to-5, then I probably can't be running a call funnel for you because you only have so many call slots. Like things like that. How much money they have, how much time they have, are they good on the phone? Do they want to do phone calls with people? Do they like graphic design? I base my ad strategy not just around what's working, but around what their skill set is, what their budget is, and how much time they have.
Hey guys, I just want to break away from the episode for just one moment and let you know that I've just launched the Amazon Launchpad mini course. Now, this is designed for people who want to get started on Amazon really, really fast. But guess what? I can get you launched your first product on Amazon with just 5 hours. You just have to click on the link below, join my community, and the course is absolutely free. All right, thanks guys, and back to the episode.
Yeah, wow. the offer that you've got there to actually come and work with you, I think is the most incredible thing because of exactly that. And I've got a lot of clients myself, and we're at that where I'm sort of steering them into, should they go and do their own Facebook ads? I always teach though, not to do their own Facebook ads, because I think for most of my clients have already got existing products, so they want to scale up quickly, and learning it themselves might take them a lot longer. Whereas if they could delve into or dive into someone like yourself, who's got all the skills, is going to get results quicker and I guess make mistakes less. Would you say that's right?
Yes, that is the general philosophy. The unfortunate reality is there's a lot of agencies out there that aren't that good at what they're doing. Every time I take a client from another agency and get in there and see all the ads they're doing, I think it usually is an absolute mess. I think that a recent client too was paying $5,000 a month, and I am just charging them percentage based. Like, you'll never lose money working with me because it will only be a percentage of what I can sell for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only way to ethically charge for Facebook ads services, because otherwise it's one of you gets screwed every month. You know, the first couple months where they pay you a flat rate and you're working super hard because you want to show them you know what you're doing and you put in all this work. And then if you're flat rate, it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to start working less and less. So right. I don't like that. I don't even have fun with it if I'm just getting, if I already know what I'm making. It's like,
because you've got an incentive, obviously, Derek, to do that? Well. You've got an incentive to do well for the client because you're going to make more money too. So it's a win-win.
And then what I do is I say, I also will take over your full back end. So I modify their website as well, because the ads is just half of it. The back end is the other half. So I take over their Shopify store and figure out which way we need to be packaging it or selling it, because that really is the other part of the equation here, is how can you figure out package selling? Because once you're like, we're getting orders, now it's all about average order value. And whether it needs to be an upsell after they buy that says you have 10 minutes to add this on, or quantity discounts at 1, 3, 5, 7, you have certain breaks, or it's mix and match on the website, pick any 5 products for 20% off. It's a completely different answer for every company. So that this is why, like, a Facebook ads course, you're going to learn stuff. You're not going to get results, because what I teach people specific for their business is just so specific to them that it could never be a course. Even if I was like, it's a course for how to run ads as a fitness coach, that is okay. That's better. If it's at least niched down, but it still is going to be like, oh, like I would need to update that course like every 2 to 3 months if I was actually giving you the most up-to-date information.
Right. So let me ask you this, Derek. Someone comes to you and you're obviously doing the ads, but does that mean you're also doing the creative you're coming up with, whether it's like a video, or do you do videos, or is it all still images as well as obviously the description, etc.?
I'll edit their videos. I will create the images though. I'll make the infographics.
Okay.
So I'll work off of whatever product shots they have on their website. Right now I've got like a jewelry company and a supplement company are like my biggest two clients. And they've already hired influencers to make a bunch of videos. One of them has 550K on TikTok. So I go through her years of videos. I grab those. I download them. She does a lot of like 5-minute videos though. So I have to edit those down to less than a minute. And I just make sure that it's like got a really powerful intro. I'll throw like captions on it and such. But I don't pull out the camera and record videos for them.
Yeah. Yep. Got you. Now, I told my community that I was going to be doing this interview with one of the top gurus of Facebook ads. And I said, what questions would you have? So if you don't mind, I'm going to jump into some specific questions that I hope you can answer. So the first thing, which you kind of touched on this, is do you partner with e-com sellers rather than a fixed base fee, which you kind of touched on that. So, but would it be, I think you've said it's not a new product, it's probably one that's existing.
If it's new, I will usually do it for a flat rate, unless I would be so positive that you have struck gold with your product. I would still want to see that you've sold it outside of friends and family at all. It's really crazy. Like, all you need to do for testing is sell it to one person outside of friends and family, and you know that your product should exist to some degree. I don't know if you've got a 10K a month or a 100K per month product or a million, but at least your product should exist online just from one sale outside of your friends and family.
Which I think is a big nugget for today's episode as well. When should people reach out to you? Is it before product launch or after they start making sales?
They should reach out as early as possible because I do a free call to start, and I don't care if someone's ready to invest or not when they do that free call. I've done this long enough to know I'll do a call with someone, I'll give them some advice. 2 years later, I'll get a call that they're ready to go with coaching. So I'm not someone who says, this call is for people ready to start. This call is, I'm going to coach you as best as I can for free for half hour, 45 minutes. So if you want to do that when you are just thinking of your product idea, I might be able to save you a couple of years of your life. I'd say reach out wherever you're at. It will be a good time.
Yeah. This one you've kind of already touched on, which is this person, they had already been with an agency before. They promised them the world. They end up spending $15,000. So what sort of guarantees can you put in that you're not going to take their $15,000, for example, and deliver no sales?
You don't even pay me anything at the beginning. If we do a contract, you will be paying me off of the percentage of sales 30 days after I start. So I take all the risk. I put your card on file at the beginning. Otherwise, I don't charge it a dollar or anything. I just have it on file and I say on the first of the month, I'm going to charge X percent of the sales that I get you. And if that is me making like $17, then there you go. So I'm pretty picky on the clients that I take on from that. But if you have gotten sales from another agency, if they produce like a ROAS of like one or two or whatever, and I can see they're making every mistake, like I always start by going into that client's ad account and looking at it, because I can tell real quick how much was the agency's fault versus how much is the product not meant to be. And if I can see, yes, I can make this work, then all I promise people is I'm going to get your product in front of people, in front of your target audience on the right day. That's as much as I promise people. And I'm going to very clearly say what your offer is, and I'm going to word it really perfectly. I'm going to create a 1-3 sentence pitch of your product that is what most business owners have been trying to figure out for years, honestly, because you can ask them about their company and they've got like a 5-minute answer for you, but I give people like that succinct, like this is the perfect 1-3 sentence caption. So that's all I promise, but then I also work on a month-to-month basis. So if you're not pleased on any month, I don't do long-term contracts with anyone. I do month-to-month for everyone because I am trying to make it so I have to perform for me. I'm putting myself in that position because I've been in sales for over a decade. I only want to get paid if I perform. I have no problem, doing a bunch of work and getting paid nothing for it.
For other people who are watching this now who are not familiar with Facebook ad gurus or agencies, for example, what Derek's talking about is really powerful because some people, they don't have this offer. They're going to charge you the earth, and if they don't deliver, it's too bad, so sad, and you're left with no sales and you've lost a lot of money. So your offer is really powerful, Derek, hence why obviously you only take on, I guess, the best clients you can get. Next question, what is the best to sell through Facebook ads or Instagram ads for that matter? Is it digital products or physical products?
It's both. It's not really either or. I say my two hacks to getting rich the easy way are, one, figure out what you can sell middle-aged women who are married.
Right.
And then two,
they're the ones on Instagram and Facebook.
They are great for, this supplement company, I can't even believe how much ladies just love balling out on, I get $1,000 orders for the supplement company just because we've packaged it like that. Because I've made her make $1,000 packages, and she was like, no way they'll buy this, and it's crazy. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of stuff for improving hair, improving skin, like all of that kind of stuff works really well. If you sell someone a how to get your skin better course, and that would probably work just as well. So physical versus digital product isn't it as much as what problems work the best to solve on Facebook and Instagram. And then the vehicle just needs to be, my other way to like test a product is if you would buy it, then there you go. And it's crazy how many people come up with this new streetwear clothing brand. And I ask them, how often do you wear your own clothes? And they rarely wear it. They're just like it's a t-shirt that looks really cool, right? Mm-hmm. If the founder of the company doesn't even wear it often, like no one else is going to wear it. So with clothing companies, all you need to do is make clothing for yourself. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is make a product for yourself. That's like your guidelines for inventing. That was also my guideline for a digital product where I said, all right, all these gurus are telling me charge $5K up front, you know, charge what you're worth for 6 months of coaching. And I was just like, just what would I have bought a few years ago? And I was like, I would buy a month-to-month coaching program where it's just guided. And like, that's how I came up with my offer as it is now. And I'll say the pricing just for the sake of not selling at all, but for the people listening out there that sell digital products, it is okay to charge. I charge $750 a month. I could charge a bit more. I will charge more when my demand gets there, when I have enough calls where I have to. I only raise my price when I have to. I don't like raising my price just because it's worth it.
What you're saying is that someone can come and see you with 6 years of this Facebook e-com experience and they can get it for $750 a month.
Yeah, you're going to four calls and unlimited messaging for $750 a month.
Wow.
And if you do 1 month, you'll probably be okay.
That's amazing. That's an amazing offer. Next question for you. What is the worst product that you've ever seen that someone has tried to sell?
Neon durable posters.
Okay. What is that?
He would create gerbil neon art using AI and then turn it into wall art. Neon gerbil posters.
Okay, so that's the worst thing.
I would say it was the most outlandish thing. It's got its niche audience, but I mean, that audience is just way too small. Even the aquarium market, I found out, is too small of a market. You would think it's really big, but it's actually, it's not that big. Or a lot of the people who have aquariums are like just giving their kids their first pet. Like it's a goldfish. It's a very unserious endeavor. So that's probably the weirdest product.
Okay, the next question then obviously is the other way, which is what has been the best, and I would say further than that, what is the most profitable product that you've seen sell through your Facebook ads?
It's the current supplement company that I'm working with, and it's because she makes all of the supplements at her store, and she presses the pills, and she sources all the ingredients from America. So if you can come up with an American-made company, it actually helps so much for not just the working with the supplier, but having just these short delivery times. You're rarely out of stock. And if you are, it's not that big of an issue. You're not going to incur any tariffs that might go up in the future. And yeah, it customs. Being able to design it yourself, and actually a lot of like skincare products or supplements, a lot of these things can be custom manufactured in the U.S. pretty easily. Even clothing, if you can do clothing manufactured in the U.S., that is going to be, it saves you so much headache. And then it's also super profitable because it's consumable and people need to keep taking it. So
to get recurring revenue is a big one with that one.
Yeah, like these ladies are buying one bottle to try it out and then their next order. I mean, at this point, she has like 80 different supplements. So,
wow. And do you know what sort of revenue really, does that sort of business do, Derek?
What's that?
What sort of revenue does that business do?
This month, we'll do about $160,000 is what we're on track for.
Wow. And where do you forecast that to go? And the other question too, is this a new supplement company? Like they've just sort of started or they've been around for years?
She's been at it for 3 years now, actually. But she's been an herbalist and studying herbology for another 10 before that.
Mm-hmm. So she's not someone who's just gone out and white labeled some supplements. She's correct. Actually got a story behind her brand as well. Not only she's
an expert. She's the one with 550,000 TikTok followers. So how do you do that? Actually know what you're talking about.
Mm. Wow.
She just records herself powerful. Talking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an amazing story too. Mm-hmm. Now I want to dive into something a bit personal. in Australia, success is kind of in a way frowned upon. If you've got money, there's sort of, it's a bit of a tall poppy syndrome in Australia. But what we see though in the States is if you're a success and you're driving around in a Ferrari or something, people applaud you. When you came out of high school, were you thinking about, hey, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to be a success and I'm going to make a lot of money? Or were you thinking something different?
When I was in elementary school, I was like, I'm going to Harvard or bust. So, I changed my philosophy away from, you know, wanting to go to an Ivy League school as much. But I've always definitely been very ambitious. I would say I have like quote unquote ADHD, which I think is a superpower in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. It just basically means you can't focus on stuff that you don't want to do, but you can focus extremely well on stuff that you do want to do. Therefore, like, I'm a terrible employee. If I would not do well at a company. Like, I'm like, unless you give me like full control over the marketing, this isn't going to work out well. Mm-hmm. So it made me have to be an entrepreneur. As far as like to that original thing that you were saying, I would still say there's a lot of people out here who kind of demonize wealth because every movie has trained us to do so, right? Like the person who's evil is always rich. So there is a bit of that still going on here, but maybe not as much. It certainly is, you know, we love ambition and we love chasing success, but mm-hmm. humans in general aren't very good at supporting people who are doing better than them. Even some of your best friends, something entrepreneurship teaches you is you start to do better than your friends and you'll realize they weren't actually that good of friends all along because they didn't want you to do better than them.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, when you're starting out and you know, I'm going to do an Amazon course. Oh, good on you, Matt. Yeah, get going. And I hope you do well. And then when you actually do well, I should have done that. No, it's unfair. And you were lucky or something like that, you know, but really it's probably like yourself, you know, you've had years and years of getting to where you are now. It didn't just happen overnight. And you've obviously had things that didn't work out, like the aquarium product, for example, right? A lot of people would have quit after that, Derek, but you obviously just kept going. Hey, but just pivot, find something new and keep selling. Derek, what's something that people don't know about you that you could share with the audience?
As far as Facebook ads go?
No, outside of Facebook ads.
Outside of Facebook ads. I'm still thinking entrepreneurship. I mean, other than that, man, I've just hopped around hobbies. Like, I'm not even like the guy who does the same thing every weekend. I went through a phase of like, I loved fantasy football. Now I don't do that anymore. And then, I'm really big on dubstep, even though I don't really go to EDM shows anymore. I went to a ton for 10 years. That was like a big part of my life. And now I've fizzled out of that a bit. So I'll more say on the topic that we were just on for like, not quitting. That's really the one thing that I've always had is like, I don't even consider quitting. And that saves you a lot of time that every hiccup that you run into, you don't have to debate going back to your old career or not. Like, I just have to figure it out. But I had to sell my house to keep going in entrepreneurship and go back to renting. I mm-hmm. won a Rolex watch at my last sales job because it was like something that you could win for high performance, and I had to sell that so I could keep going when I got broke in my business. So most people are not willing to pay those kind of prices. I had to move back in with my parents for a bit too, just because I'm like, I gotta invest this money in the company. So I didn't ever think I would do that again, you know, when I moved out at 18. But you have to humble yourself. Like, you're gonna, I did not want to sell that house, sell that Rolex, any of that. But I was like, what am I gonna do? Quit? No. It's a high cost that you
have
to pay.
That's powerful. Powerful, Derek, because there's something in America that they say, you know, if someone hasn't basically been broke before, you should never partner with them because they don't know what it's like to have their back up against the wall and turn things around. So, Derek, as we wrap things up, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. And where can people find you? Where's the best places to get in contact with you?
Yeah, on Instagram, it's my name, Derek Vidal. And then on YouTube, it's my name, Derek Vidal. So whatever I got going on will be in my Instagram bio, but the best value.
And we'll put links to everything in the show notes as well so people can find you. And I certainly recommend that people do because you've got some fantastic information that you're just giving away for free from someone who's done this for 6 years. You certainly know your stuff. So Derek, one question that comes up, what is the most common mistakes that you see people doing when they're doing Facebook ads?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this. So The biggest one is trying to do targeting like we had to do in the past. So when you get to the ad set phase, and by the way, you should only ever create ads in Ads Manager, never boost a post. Boosting a post will just find people with no disposable income. But yeah, you have to do it in Ads Manager and run a sales campaign. You're not doing an engagement campaign. You're not doing a leads. Never do anything besides a sales campaign if you are selling a product. You don't have to do awareness marketing and then you keep going down the funnel. It's just you're trying to just sell to someone who's ready to buy is how you're writing the ad too. You're selling sunglasses. You're not trying to convince people that they want sunglasses. You're trying to find someone who's already in the market for sunglasses and show up on the day that they're looking, because that's what the algorithm is all about. It's just showing to people ready to buy right now. So the targeting in the past, if you're selling sunglasses, you get to that ad set phase and you put in the interest. You're like, oh, interest. They're interested in running, right? Those people like sunglasses, or they all put in sunglasses. Oh, that's something. Oh, Ray-Bans. I'll put Ray-Bans in there. Put nothing. Never put anything for interest. And no matter what you do, it can get in front of your right customer, because the targeting is now done how you write your caption. So all you need to do is write a clear as day caption. Our new sunglasses out now, 25% off. Like, just say the word sunglasses in there. Just make it abundantly clear in the caption that you're trying to sell sunglasses, and then put nothing in the interest-based targeting. And it's really crazy, because even I was doing ads for a bunch of wedding photographers for a bit, and I was running ads where you can put in engaged. You could say, oh, only run to people who are engaged. Like, that should be the perfect person to sell engagement sessions too, right? Someone who has listed their relationship status as engaged. That performed significantly worse than putting nothing there and then just writing a caption that says congrats on your engagement, because it knows it. The targeting is based around listening to people's conversations. So your phone is constantly listening to your conversation, and it's listening to all your customers. So it's creepy, but the good thing is we're the advertisers, so it's great. So yeah, if that person talked about, I'm engaged, blah, 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 on their phone with their friends, they're going to see the ad. And not everyone goes and changes their Facebook relationship status right away anymore. Mm. So put nothing. That's the major thing. And then the second part of that, which I kind of already said, is write your caption abundantly clear. Clarity is all you need in marketing to do really well, because a lot of people think they need to be funny. And actually, I'm against being funny in marketing at this point. I think it's a good idea for Coca-Cola to make a commercial where they're funny in it, because as long as the Coke logo is at the bottom left, they get it. They sell soda. I can get it down at the gas station. So they're in a different phase of marketing, a brand awareness phase. And this is why you should pretty much never model off a big company, because they're a completely different phase of marketing as you. So for me, if I write an ad that says, I'm going to teach you how to blow up your Instagram, that doesn't do well. If I say, I'm going to teach you how to gain 10,000 Instagram followers, that does great. So abundantly clear in what the offer will do for them. None of these ambiguous terms that you're kind of just trying to inflate the value. You also don't need to be like, what's a trendy word? Like, we'll say lit, because all Gen Z are saying lit right now. You should have it where you write it in a way that Gen Z, Gen X, Boomer, doesn't matter who sees this, everyone has complete comprehension. So just have that be your North Star for decision making. Even with my graphic design, I'd rather an abundantly clear image with crappy graphic design than a really great, cool looking image that has just a bunch of words randomly scattered around it that don't read nicely, and the order is not obvious what you should read them in. Like, all the Canva templates are actually not good to do, because all of them look great and they're so confusing to know where to read first. So it's crazy how, like, even graphic design isn't that important to getting results. And it's kind of why I can do graphic design for everyone. I'm not a good graphic designer. I just have a very, like, set series of rules that I follow when I design graphics. But everything is just based around clarity. Like, your target customer will for sure know that this ad was made for them, is how I'm trying to write it, how I'm trying to design it. I'm not worried about fancy video editing, graphic design, being funny, being, try to be super relatable, trying to take some funny, some creative avenue. I have just a very abundantly clear is what I'm all about in marketing.
Yeah, Derek, you touched on graphic design, and AI is huge right now. Everyone's got AI on their lips. Are you using AI in any of your ad creation?
Yes, I don't have it make me an ad though. You don't say, ChatGPT, I need an ad, a Facebook ad for this product. Like, it's gonna give you a crazy image. You're trying to just get, I'm like, I need a plant background done. Like, and then I get that and I put the plant background in and then I put the supplements over it and whatever. I'm just trying to get like a random element designed for it. But otherwise I'm not having it make me an entire ad. And all those softwares that you see have AI run your ads. Terrible idea.
Do you think AI is going to take over Facebook ads or your role? Do you see that happening?
No, because it's not black and white like AI thinks it is. It still needs the human component. It's a while away. For instance, AI is like ad A is beating ad B. So should I turn off ad B or reduce spending to ad B? I want to ask the question, why is ad A beating ad B? So ad C, E, A are all doing well. What's the pattern here? Why are those doing well and why are these ones doing bad? And then I'm going to, you know, look for every possible pattern of why they're doing good, why they're doing bad to tell me what to make next. So AI doesn't say why is something doing good or bad and then what does that mean that we should make next. It just looks at it in terms of winning or losing and adjusting budget like that. You could maybe have AI adjust your budget but not take over your ad creative. So I love AI because it is infinitely beneficial to entrepreneurs. Every other person out there has their job, you know, slightly at risk, even if it may be just that the company's downsizing in that department because AI has made it more efficient. But for me, like what you asked before too, of do I have other people do it? I have my girlfriend that makes images for one company. She follows a very set rules, and I see every one of those images before they get published, and I pretty much mess with them every single time. They're going to be messed with a little bit. These agencies that are like they're really good at selling, and then they just hire a random person that's never owned a business before to run your ads. This is why it's like you're probably better at running your own ads than most of these agencies anyways. Oh, well, they're a seven-figure-a-month agency. Even more to my point, how did they get to seven figures? Delegating this way too much. The person that you're, like, I'm the one running your ads. Like the person on YouTube that you learned from, like I'd be the one doing it. I'm not passing this off to other people because it takes 6 years of me to get how good I am. It doesn't matter if I take someone under my wing and train them even for a few months. They still don't know how to think about it as well as me to recall on all that past experience. So I'm pretty opposed to any coach or consultant or agency that makes seven figures a month is probably not good at running ads. They're just
scaling. I would totally agree with that. So Derek, thank you so much for coming on the Amazon Ecom Secrets podcast. You've given away so much valuable information as being a 6-year veteran in this Facebook space. I'm going to put the details to reach you in the show notes, and I encourage everyone to like and subscribe to your podcast, to your YouTube channel, and of course your Instagram channel. And thank you so much for joining the show.
Been a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me, Matthew.
Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.